This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. Wa baraka wa sallama tasliman. Kathiran ila yawmiddin. Amma ba'd. This next small section, I'm going to conclude it for you, which is just a bit more about whether there's going to be whether people will be able to have children in paradise. What it is that there's a narration of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, which Imam Tirmidhi has related. Imam Tirmidhi has related this in his Sunan, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a believer, when he wants a child in paradise, if he wants a child in paradise, then the pregnancy, the delivery, and growing up of that child will all happen in an instance. It won't be 9 months, embryonic stage, trimesters, no. However, though this is mentioned in a hadith, there's a difference of opinion among the scholars as to whether people will have children or not in paradise. Because this one is that it says, if a person wants a child, then because in Jannah you can have whatever you want. So that's why there's a bit of a difference of opinion. Some say that there will be sexual intercourse in paradise, but there won't be any children. We read a number of those narrations last week. This is also the opinion of a number of the tabi'een, Tawus, Mujahid, Ibrahim al-Nakha'i, Ata ibn Abi Rabah, Ata al-Kharasani, Qatada, and so on and so forth. There's numerous. That's their opinion. Imam Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari, or Imam al-Bukhari, he says that Ishaq ibn Ibrahim has related in a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if a believer wants a child in Jannah, then it will all happen in an instance as he wishes, but he will not wish it. He will not wish it. And it's related from Abu Razin al-Uqaydi from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that inna ahl al-Jannah la yakunu lahum fiha walad. In the first one, that he will not wish it, that's not necessarily from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That seems to be Imam Bukhari's opinion, or Ishaq ibn Ibrahim's opinion. Actually, Ishaq ibn Ibrahim's opinion. So all of this has been taken from Imam Tirmidhi after he mentioned that first narration. It says, then there's a narration of Abu Razin al-Uqayli, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that in paradise, or actually the people of paradise, they will not have children. This narration of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, there's lots of discussion about it. But basically, let's just conclude that there are two opinions about this. There is another narration from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a person from the people of Jannah, he can have a child as he wishes, but then, as I mentioned, it's pregnancy and it's nursing, it's weaning or whatever you want to call it, and youth and everything will all happen in an instance. So there's numerous narrations on both sides. I'm just going to mention a few of them to you. There's another narration which Imam Ahmad has related in his Musnad, that Ibrahim ibn Hamza, ibn Muhammad ibn Hamza ibn Mus'ab ibn Zubayr al-Zubayri wrote to me. He says that I have written to you this hadith, and I have heard it exactly as I have written it to you, and you can relate this from me. And then he's got this long narration from Laqit ibn Amir that once this Laqit went to visit the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a group of people. He had a companion with him whose name was Nahik ibn Asim ibn Malik. So Laqid says that I and my companion, we left until we came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he had just finished performing his morning prayer. He stood up and he started a sermon. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started a sermon. Ayyuhan nas, O people, I have been silent. I haven't allowed you to hear my voice for 4 days. But now I will speak to you. I will make you hear me. And then he said, is there anybody whose people have sent him here? And then it continues like that until everybody sat down, and then he started speaking. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started speaking on a number of different things until he speaks about paradise. It's a very long hadith, but I'm going to miss it all out because it's a very long hadith and I just want to discuss. So then he says, then you'll go to paradise, and in there will be four rivers as mentioned in the Quran: honey, wine, water and milk. Then he said that there will be pure wives, azwajum mutahhara. So I said, ya Rasulullah, we will have wives there and they will be good. He says, yes, as-salihatu lis-salihin, for the righteous, you'll get righteous women, righteous spouses. Taladhu bihinna mithla ladhatikum fi dunya, and you will also you will also derive pleasure from them as you do in the world, and they will derive pleasure from you, except that there will be no children, there will be no birth, there will be no pregnancy. And then it carries on, and they asked to do bay'ah to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then the hadith continues and it finishes. Now, what's very interesting is that Ibn al-Qayyim, after relating this very, very long hadith, he says that this is a very large hadith, it's a very well-known hadith, but it is only known in terms of the chain from which it is transmitted. It is only known through Abu al-Qasim Abdul Rahman ibn al-Mughira ibn Abdul Rahman al-Madani. And then from the riwayah, the transmission of Ibrahim ibn Hamza al-Zubayri al-Madani from him. These are two of the great ulama of Medina, Munawwara, from whom you can derive proof. The Imam of the Muhaddithin, Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari, has used them as proof, has cited them as evidence, and he has related from them in a number of places in his kitab. And a number of the other Imams of Hadith have related from them. Now, this is like a classical discussion on, you've got a narration which has only been apparently related, transmitted through one chain. And this is all about, it's quite a strange narration in that sense, very different from normal narrations. This is how the Muhaddithin now discuss and support a narration. So this is Ibn al-Qayyim. I would be surprised if a lot of those people who today claim to follow Ibn al-Qayyim and Ibn Taymiyyah would have accepted this hadith if Ibn al-Qayyim didn't say it, even despite him saying it. Because they're just willing to throw things off at the first, as long as something is not sahih in it or hasan, then just drop it. Just don't even mention it. So I just had a recent chat on Twitter with somebody about a hadith which is da'ifun gharibun. And somebody responded to me with a picture of the hadith with a cross through it. So I said, what's the problem with the narration? He says, Imam Tirmidhi says this. I said, yes, he doesn't say it's fabricated. He says it's da'if. Yeah, but he says it's gharib. I said, it's obscure, so what? It's not fabricated. And if it's not fabricated, this is just virtue. This is just the virtuous aspect of reading Allahumma khirli wa akhtarli, which means, oh Allah, choose for me and select for me. There's no obligation in there. It's just a... Yes, but okay, clearly we are on a different manhaj. Right? And despite that, whenever mentioning a da'if hadith, it should be mentioned that it's da'if. So that's not an obligation. People don't want to take it, they don't have to take it. I didn't claim anything about it. So you've got people who are kind of like obsessed with this kind of thing. They literally, they want to run away from da'if hadith. So why would all of these great imams mention da'if hadith in their books? One of their great imams who, I mean, he didn't make himself their imam, they made him their imam, the Ibn Qayyim. If you just listen to, I'm going to relate the rest of it to you as well. But then, and then why does Imam Bukhari have this number of his books, except his Sahih? There's a number of his other books like Al-Adab al-Mufrad and so on, which has numerous da'if hadith, and Imam Ahmed, his book is full of da'if hadith. So for what? They tried to push him in or something and they're not supposed to. So you just get this kind of very black and white. If it's hadith, sahih and hasan, then we'll take it. If it's da'if, we don't even want to look at it. We don't even want to entertain it. And that's very, very wrong. A da'if hadith doesn't mean that it's false. Because there's some narrator in there who has a bit suspicious about him. That's why we're just being careful with the narration. But it could be an absolutely sahih narration. Meaning it could be a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they just don't get that aspect of it. They're just looking at the literal aspect that if somebody said it's da'if, finish. Anyway, so Ibn al-Qayyim is saying now, he says that this hadith has been related from these two. Imam Bukhari has narrated from these two individuals who've related this hadith. Other imams have related from them, like Abdurrahman, Abdullah ibn al-Imam Ahmad, Abu Bakr Ahmad ibn Amr ibn Abi Asim, Abu al-Qasim al-Tabarani, Abu al-Shaykh al-Hafidh, Abu Amr ibn Abi Asim, Abu Abdullah ibn Manda. These are all great hadith narrators who have collections. They've all taken from him. And Hafidh Abu Bakr Ahmad ibn Musa ibn Mardaway, Abu Nu'aym al-Asbahani al-Hafidh, he's taken from him as well. And many others have taken from those two narrators and taken it with acceptance and taslim, al-qubul wa taslim, accepted it. In fact, Hafidh Abu Abdullah ibn Manda says that this narration has been related by Muhammad ibn Ishaq al-Saghani and Abdullah ibn Ahmad ibn Hanbal, son of Ahmad ibn Hanbal, and other than them. And they related this narration in Iraq in a great gathering of ulama and ahluddin and the people of the deen. Nobody rejected it, nobody denied it. I'm just giving you how hadith discussion, you know, how you support a narration. Because you won't see this every year. You're never going to hear this. This is very specialist, you know. It's like lawyers speaking in a court. You don't hear that on a normal, you know, on a normal street. وَلَمْ يُتَكَلَّمْ فِي إِسْنَادِهِ. Its transmission was not criticized. Nobody criticized and even spoke about it. Nobody commented about it. And likewise, Abu Zur'a and Abu Hatim, they have also taken it with acceptance. Abu al-Khayr ibn Hamdan says that this hadith is hadithun kabirun thabitun hasanun mashhur. This is a hadith, a large hadith, a lengthy hadith, which is established. It is a sound narration and well known. And then he says that Ibn al-Qayyim says, I asked our Shaykh Abu al-Hajjaj al-Mizzi. Al-Mizzi is one of the great hadith scholars who wrote a big book, Al-Kamal. I asked our Shaykh Abu al-Hajjaj al-Mizzi about this, and he said, Alayhi jalalatun nubuwa. Upon it, or from it, you can see the majesty of nubuwa. That's another way of them accepting the narration. That I can see that prophecy, you can see it manifest on this, the majesty of it. Anyway, so that's the so those who reject that there will be children in paradise, then this is a narration that they use to completely negate that there will be children. And you know, he says that if he wants, he will have, in the narration where he says if he wants, he will have a child, then just because he says if he wants it will happen, it doesn't mean that it's going to have to happen. It's just a choice that if you want to, trying to say that the whole idea there is to express that you can have what you want. But there will be many things once you get there, you won't want them. There's a lot of things that you may want to do when you go somewhere. When you actually get there, you discover that there's a lot more interesting things to do there than that. I don't want children, extra children, I've got no time for that. Do you understand? That's what people will probably think, I'm assuming. And Allah knows best. Now, there's a number of other reasons where Ibn al-Qayyim mentions why there shouldn't be children, based on those who say there shouldn't be children. Because number one, I'll just go through them quickly, just to give us an understanding that Allah says, وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا أَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهَّرَاتٌ, that they will have pure spouses in there. And you say pure here, most of them have taken this to be free from menstruation. And generally, if you don't have a menstruation or nifas, then you can't have children, because that's the way. However, others have said that that's not really an absolute evidence, because just like you eat, and the stomach whole system will be separate and different, right? Where you won't have to, you won't need any internal, there will be a different digestion system that will just output everything through perspiration of musk, right? So it's a whole different system that the body is going to be kitted out with. So there's an absolute possibility that, so that's not an absolute, but this is just one of the reasons. And there's numerous other reasons that they mention, that it's in this world that this whole system is there. Whereas in paradise, okay, if you have children, then are they going to grow up, or is it supposed to become very fast? The whole point of having children is that, mashallah, you know, you got this child of 1 year old, and then the terrible two set in, they're still okay, and then three, and then they start really getting a bit crazy, and then they become five and six, and then the whole childish aspect, you need to do it all over again to get that, you know, that same experience again. So here, if it's going to happen so fast, what's the point of having children? You're going to have an adult very soon. You have enough adults anyway, and you have children already. You know, you may have children already. Some say, well, I didn't have children in the world, I want children now. But again, you probably won't want that at that time. So that's what it mentions. However, because the hadith is there, the other narration, there the possibility could exist, and Allah knows best. See, one of the other reasons is that those young boys in Jannah that will be servants, they're going to remain like that forever. And all human beings, regardless of how and what age they died at in this world, will all be 33 years old or something in paradise, and they will remain like that forever. Nobody's going to become old in paradise. So it's just very difficult to fit this into, to have a child and grow up, and then are they going to continue to grow? Will they stop at 33 as well? Will they die then, when there's not supposed to be any death in paradise? It just doesn't fit into the whole scheme. The whole aspect of having children and paternity and so on, that's all part of this world. In the other world, it's just about enjoyment. You don't need to have children then. Another reason is that everybody in Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now going to create them like He has the angels. Angels remain steady. They don't grow up as such. Angels are a static, in a sense, that they are created in a particular form and they remain like that forever. They don't have children. It's only jinn and humans that do. Now in paradise, it's going to be like that as well. Angels don't have to defecate, urinate, don't sleep, and they are directly inspired with doing tasbih and glorifying their Lord. They don't become disassociated with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way whatsoever. And like that, that's what's going to happen in paradise. Now, another aspect of the Hurul Ain, probably one of the last aspects we're going to be discussing, so this will be the last aspect, right, is the singing of paradise, enjoyment, the concerts, not the crazy concerts of here, but this is going to be the tarab, ladha, the concerts of the paradise. From the Hurul Ain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in Surah Ar-Rum, وَيَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَتَفَرَّقُونَ
فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فَهُمْ فِي رَوْضَةٍ يُحْبَرُونَ.
When the day of judgment comes to be, then everybody will be separated and dispersed. As for those who have believed and done good deeds, they will be in an orchard, yuhbarun. Yuhbarun, enjoyment, in enjoyment. The word yuhbarun comes from al-habra, which has been described as al-ladhatu wa-sima', pleasure and listening. Pleasure and just enjoying yourself, enjoying the sounds, enjoying the singing that's taking place. As-sima'u fil jannah, that's what it's referring to. That's why there's a narration, Imam Tirmidhi says, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna fil jannati la mujtama'an lil huril ayn." In paradise, there will be a gathering of huril ayn. They will all get together. These are the singing ones. يَرْفَعْنَ بِأَصْوَاتٍ لَمْ تَسْمَعِ الْخَلَائِقُ بِمِثْلِهَا. They will raise their voices and begin to sing in such a style and voice that the creation would have never heard anything like it. It'll make you forget all of these Whitney Houstons and Madonnas and all of these other people who are so sad. It's a really sad case. Their lives are very sad. Lady Gaga, she has some issues. Bad dreams, darkness overcoming her. Tries to escape the whole thing. Can't, doesn't know where to go. Gets back in. Some crazy things. Allah protect us. But people don't know all of this. They don't see it. Even though some of these people die from overdose, they still become heroes, as though it's like a wonderful thing. Glamorized, ajib. The worst type of weariness is when a person has had full access to pleasure but still is lonely thereafter. He's had full access to all forms of pleasure, done it, everything, but still found himself lonely. That's the nature of the world. That's what's going to happen. So they will be singing with such a voice that the creation would have never heard anything like this. And they will be saying, this will be their slogan, this will be their chorus, this will be their song, their lyrics. نَحْنُ الْخَارِدَاتْ فَلَا نَبِيدْ. We are those who will remain forever. We will never get old. وَنَحْنُ النَّاعِمَاتْ فَلَا نَبْأَسْ. And we are always excellent and beautiful. And we will never become sulky, sorrowful. وَنَحْنُ الرَّاضِيَاتْ فَلَا نَسْخُتْ. We'll always be happy and satisfied. We will never get angry. طُوبَى لِمَنْ كَانَ لَنَا وَكُنَّا لَهُ. Glad tidings for the one who we are for and they are for us. And there's a number of hadiths to that effect. There's another narration from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. And some of these are weak narrations, but they give us some idea that in Jannah, Nahran, Tul al-Jannah, there will be a stream, a lake that will be the size of Jannah. Hafatahu al-Adhara, al-Adhara, Qiyamun mutaqabilat. They will have the virgins that will be standing facing one another. And they will be singing with a sound that none of creation has ever heard. In paradise, it says that there will be no pleasure that will be seen as great as that. This is all relative at the end of the day. This is all relative. They will hear this. We said, Ya Aba Huraira, what kind of singing is this going to be? What kind of singing are you talking about? So he said, you're wondering, what are they going to be singing about? That like the crazy people of today, they're always singing about being on the floor and doing things. Like crazy people, right? This is, subhanAllah. It's always about riling people up to do haram. It's like so shaitan behind it. Pure shaitaniyah. So he said, Ya Aba Huraira, what are they going to be singing? He says, Insha'Allah, At-Tasbih, Wat-Tahmeed, Wat-Taqdees, Wa-Thana' ala Rabbi Azza wa Jal. They're going to be, this is going to be filled with glorification of Allah, praise of Allah, and speaking about His majesty and His praise of the Lord. Abu Nu'aym relates in Sifatul Jannah from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that in paradise there will be a tree whose roots are of gold, branches are made of pearls and rubies, and a wind will be blown through it and it will start to move its branches, and the people would have never heard anything that would be more pleasurable than that. So you've got two forms of singing going on. Sounds, beautiful sounds. This is the pure music made out of the rustle of trees. And you've got the voice of the Hurul Ain. I mean, if they are so beautiful with all the description that we've, and they're ready to give you, then imagine their voice will be ready for that. They're not going to have ugly voices. Numerous narrations, I'm just giving you a few. Don't want to spoil it for you. Right. You can't spoil it. None of this can spoil it, believe me. There's another narration from Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the wives of the people of paradise, the spouses of the people of paradise will sing for their spouses with the most beautiful voice that anybody has ever heard. And part of what they will sing, part of their lyrics, is نَحْنُ الْخَيْرَاتُ الْحِسَانِ. We are the most excellent and beautiful. أَزْوَاجُ قَوْمٍ كِرَامٍ. Spouses of noble people. يَنْظُرْنَ بِقُرَّةِ عَيَانٍ. Who will be looking with the gladness of the eyes. And part of also part of their lyrics is نَحْنُ الْخَالِدَاتِ فَلَا نُمَتْنَا. We are permanent, ever enduring, we will never die. نَحْنُ الْآمِنَاتِ فَلَا نَخَفْنَا. And we are completely safe and we never fear. And we are always here and we will never have any issues. There's another narration that a person of the Quraysh asked Ibn Shihab that will there be singing in paradise? Because I love singing. You know, I love singing. فَإِنِّي حُبِّبَ إِلَيَّ السِّمَاعِ. I love to hear singing. It's a natural thing for humans to hear good voices. It's a natural thing. Right? It just has to be halal. We're told in this world that you need to have some restrictions here. So he said, he responded, he says, إِي وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ بْنُ شِهَابٍ بِيَدِهِ. Of course. By the one whose hand is Ibn Shihab's life. إِنَّ فِي الْجَنَّةِ لَشَجَرًا. There are trees in paradise, made up, branches made up of pearl and ruby. And underneath it will be these maidens that will be singing with the Qur'an. They will be saying, نَحْنُ النَّاعِمَاتِ, and the same thing. And then it says that when they start singing, the trees will start to clap their branches together and respond to the maidens, and then people will not know what is more beautiful, the movement of the leaves and the sounds that come from there or those maidens. So Ibn Wahab has related from Khalid ibn Yazid, the Hurul Ain, they will sing for their husbands and say, we are most excellent, most beautiful. Azwaju shababin kiram, and the spouses of the noble youth, because 33 years old is still youth. We are here forever, we will never die. We're constantly beautiful and we will never get old. We're constantly satisfied and we will never get upset. And carries on, and then it says that on every one of their chests it will be written that I am, you are my lover, and I am your lover. My life ends by you. Intahat nafsi indak. Myself, my life ends by you. And my eyes have never seen as beautiful as you. It's amazing ways of expressing this. However, there will be, this is now to end the whole Hurul Een discussion and move to something better, because the Hurul Een is not the best thing in paradise. Right? We have to remember that. So there is something to listen to even greater than this. If this is how beautiful all of this was, and the maidens and their singing, Ibn Abi Dunya relates from Awza'i. Awza'i says that it's reached me, it's been transmitted to me, that there is nobody in creation with a more beautiful voice than Israfil alayhi salam, the angel. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will order him and he will start to sing. And there will be no angel left in the heavens except that they will even stop their prayer to listen to this. And then they will remain like that for as long as Allah wishes that they remain like that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, by my majesty, by my greatness, if only my slaves knew the level of my greatness, then they would never have worshipped anybody but me. Another narration from Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, from Malik ibn Anas, from Muhammad ibn al-Munqadir. These narrations are not from the Prophet ﷺ, these are mawquf on who's relating them. So in this one, Muhammad ibn al-Munqadir says, when it's the day of judgment, an announcer, a herald will announce, where are those that used to protect themselves and were cautious of listening to the wrong thing? They used to protect their ears from the mazamiru shaitan, from the flutes of shaitan, and from these gatherings of redundancy and waste and play. Those who are not always just on MTV. If you stay away from MTV, inshallah, you get this. Askinuhum riyad al-misk. Let them live in orchards of musk. And then he will say to the angels, Asmi'uhum tamjidi wa tahmidi. Give them a performance of my glorification and my praise. It's just going to be pure performance there. Absolutely pure. No messed up nasheeds. No beatboxing. Trying to create the same kind of, I think it's the same problem, right? None of that. People can't get enough, so then they add music, and then it gets music, and then they'll end up with heavy metal. You'll see. They'll end up with some Muslim guys doing heavy metal if they're not already doing it. Because it's just normal. That's just the normal trajectory of these things. This narration which I mentioned it's got a sahih sanad, a sahih chain. Ibn Abi Dunya relates from Malik ibn Dinar. So this is a narration of Malik ibn Dinar, not from Rasulullah sallam. He is relating this. He says that where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa inna lahum indana lazulfa wa husna ma'ab. What that means is that on the day of judgment, it will be ordered for a very elevated platform and mimbar, elevated stages to be brought out, and they will be placed in Jannah. And then it will be announced that, O Dawood, glorify me with that voice, with that beautiful voice of yours that you used to glorify me with in the dunya. And when he sings, it will just take over everything of paradise. And that is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَإِنَّ لَهُ عِنْدَنَا لَزُلْفَى وَحُسْنَ مَآبٍ. Another narration from Ibn Abi Dunya, from Abda Ibn Abi Lubaba, he says that in paradise there is a tree whose fruits are like rubies and sapphires and pearls. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, imagine this, right? that their fruits are like that, studded with all of these. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send a wind, will send some wind, and these things will start moving about in a certain rhythm, and they will be, it will make such beautiful music that there's nothing heard like it. Just absolutely beautiful music. Another narration from Ibn Abbas, that in paradise there is a tree whose trunk is as long as somebody could ride 100 years in its shadow. It's a very tall tree. And people will be sitting under it, speaking, conversing, enjoying, having a good time, socializing. Then one of them will start talking and say, you know what, I miss the music. I miss the performances. They will maybe just start remembering, you know, there was this performance or that performance. Michael Jackson came into town, but I didn't go there. Everybody was on about it. You know, he was singing I'm Bad or whatever it is, right? But I didn't go because it's haram, you know. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send a wind in paradise. And it will start creating movements in that tree. And it will start to sing. It will start to make music like there was in the world, that people will get excited about. So that's even greater, on a more mass scale, than those maidens singing. However, there's also greater sound than that, a greater performance than that, which will all of these other things will pale in contrast to. And that is when they will hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's speech. And when He makes salam to them, that's going to be so beautiful. That He's going to make salam to them, and He's going to address them, and He's going to have a discourse with them, and He will read the Quran. When they will hear that, it is that they will be as though they've never heard Him before, obviously. In Jannah, nothing will be given that will be more greater than seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and listening to Him. So these are all higher and higher levels. Subhanallah. Everything has been taken into, have you noticed everything? A person's sight, a person's hearing, the smells, a person's sexual needs, everything has been taken into consideration. The next chapter here, we move on to a bit of a different subject. You need to get around in paradise. So what it's going to be, wallahu alam, Allah knows best. But this is what the narrations say. This much we know. Right? But it could be a lot more than this, of course. Imam Tirmidhi relates from Buraydah, from his father, Sulaiman ibn Buraydah, from his father, from Buraydah. A person came and asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulallah, are there going to be any horses in paradise? Horses are very important for a lot of people. Are there going to be horses in paradise? So the Prophet ﷺ responded to him that, look, when Allah has given you entry into paradise, and then you would want to be mounted upon a horse that is made out of red ruby, that will go and take you wherever you want, يَطِيرُ بِكَ, that will fly with you wherever you want, in paradise, then you'd be able to do so. Now, what's very interesting here, the way I see it, is that it's talking about a horse made out of ruby. Right? You don't get horses out of ruby in this world. And it flies. Horses don't fly. Now, while horses will still exist today, but transport modes have progressed quite a bit. And there are people in the world from some of these countries that like to have their ruby and diamond studded cars, Rolls Royces and things like that. So this could be anything, like whatever vehicle you want, absolutely. Maybe that's why the Prophet ﷺ said it's going to be a horse made of ruby. Then a person said, Ya Rasulullah, any camels? I am into camels. It's like somebody says, there's going to be BMWs there. It's like, no, give me a Rolls Royce instead. I don't think there's going to be any Rolls Royce there. or Ferraris or Lamborghinis or whatever you want. Now in this one, he didn't answer him in the same way. He said that if Allah gives you entrance into paradise, then for there will be for you whatever you want and whatever pleases your eyes. Like, otherwise people are going to be asking all sorts of questions, so maybe that's why he said it that way. There's another narration from Abu Ayyub that a desert Arab, Bedouin, came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, "Ya Rasulullah, I love horses. Are there going to be horses in paradise?" Can you imagine? Like, I love my cars, I love my horses. You're going to have horses in paradise. The Prophet ﷺ said that, yes, if you are entered into paradise, then you will be brought a horse made out of this ruby that will have two wings. And you will then mount upon it and it will take you wherever you want. It could be a little plane or some other vehicle of the future. Jetpacks. I don't know. I mean, the kind of things that are coming up, you know, what they're designing, things like that. All of these things are possible. This narration obviously is a bit weak though, as Imam Tirmidhi mentions that laysa isnaduhu bil qawi. The narration, the isnad of it isn't as strong. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Okay, I think that much is enough to finish this scene off. Now, the next section, inshallah, which we'll do next time, I think 45 minutes of paradise is enough. The next part is about people visiting each other and then discussing what they used to do in the world. So, yeah, this is a full review of paradise, inshallah. So we will do that next time, inshallah. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ